You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. I'm your host, Maya Pedersen. Today on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program, I am joined with two members of the Valley Life for All, which is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to build inclusive communities where people of all abilities belong and contribute. With us today, we have Debbie Wild, an executive director of Valley for All, or VLFA. She helps the organization secure money to fund events, initiatives, keeps the staff and board of directors informed, and has an extensive background in nonprofit success. We also have Sandy Schroeder, the board president for VLFA. She has been the president for 2 years and has a child with different abilities. Sandy is a special education teacher in Eagle County at an elementary school, but also has administrative experience in her educational past. Sandy works primarily on inclusion program and provides training to community-based people who want to know more about inclusion. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks, Maya.
Thank you, Maya.
Debbie, can you tell us about the mission of VLFA?
That's a great place to start, isn't it? We've really been working on this of late because words are, of course, so powerful, and it's difficult to find the right words to get across just exactly what we all do. And this is kind of where we're at right now. Our mission is to create access or be a conduit to resources and embrace new opportunities that support choice for people with disabilities, or as we'd like to say, people with all abilities, their families and communities. So, Maya, the thing that we've thought about, you know, is really the vision of all of this for Valley Life for All is to build inclusive communities where people of all abilities belong and contribute.
And Sandy, can you tell us what inclusion is?
Inclusion is hopeful, but it's unfortunate that we have to actually use the word inclusion because past societal definitions of people with different abilities have caused some people whose brains work differently or whose bodies work differently to be excluded from certain privileges, certain resources in their community. It can be anything from not having a wheelchair walkway up to a business or in schools and things. So for in history, these people have been excluded from the things that all people should have access to. So the converse, the opposite of exclusion is actually inclusion. So inclusion is making sure that when buildings are built and great idea makers are thinking up ideas about ways to create new programs or new opportunities in a community, that they think about all people with all kinds of abilities so that everybody can have equal access to enjoy those things that are part of the community.
And so would those be like having those wheelchair ramps and like having larger, you know, doors for wheelchair accessibility? And like, what are some other examples, ways like a community could be more inclusive to people with special abilities?
Oh my goodness, Maya, what an amazing question. So the federal government regulates that things like wheelchair access be provided for things that are need to be accessible to all people, all members of a community. And so we're lucky to have that. That is provided through the Americans with Disability Act, and which is a piece of legislation that supports the work that that Debbie and I and all kinds of people have been doing for a very long time to make sure that access is guaranteed. But the kinds of things I think you're talking about or that you'd like suggestions for examples are the kinds of things that we might overlook as just the typical user of equipment piece A. And I'm going to use the example of, for example, a baseball field. So many, many times, if you can make a picture of a baseball field in your mind, there's the baseball diamond, which has a big fence all the way around the outfield. And then there's oftentimes bleachers that are on both the third baseline and the first baseline. Well, sometimes when people design these, they think, oh, you know, people can climb up on those bleachers and be able to watch a game. Well, not everybody can climb, and not everybody can see from that venue, especially when we think about the fence that is between the bleachers and that first baseline. There are oftentimes advertisements on the fence, and that kind of block the view of somebody who was sitting down lower. They wouldn't even be able to see through that fence because of the advertisements or different kinds of things. So the universal design for something like that would be to have ramps that everybody sits on and has a seating along a ramp. So as you're walking up the ramp, there would be seats alongside so that everybody could get up. And also not putting those publications, those advertisements and things along the fence, so that if somebody did want to sit closer, their view wouldn't be obscured by the advertisements that are there. So it's really kind of a shift in the approach to the way that things are designed. Lots of what we, the efforts because of the Americans with Disabilities Act have done is to retrofit. So let's fix these things and put ramps in and things. Well, inclusion and forward thinkers who are thinking about people with all abilities will say, when we design these things, we need to think about everybody who is going to want to watch, for example, a baseball game.
So that would be like, because I know there's a ramp at the bleachers at my high school, but we're not always allowed to like stand on those walkways, so there like isn't seating for anyone in a wheelchair, but we like do have a ramp, but we can't. That's like the only thing we would have, at least at my high school, that would kind of include people in wheelchairs. So like the American
Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yeah. So that would only cover like certain portions, correct, of trying to have more like accessibility for people. So that really only goes so far, correct?
The Americans with Disabilities Act covers every kind of possible disability. Everything from having one leg, you know, an amputee or a paraplegic, to mental illness. So that's a really wide expanse. Sometimes when people, and this is the way society has kind of defined, quote, disability, or, again, like Debbie was saying, what we like to call is all different abilities. But people have been forced into understanding this in the sense of a disability and usually things that are very visible. So things that people are in wheelchairs or people who need to have crutches or walkers, people who whose bodies don't work in the same fashion as everybody else's bodies, and they need maybe a care assistant to help them do their grocery shopping, things like that. When in fact, there's a lot of different abilities that people can't really readily identify, like autism, and any kind of mental health disorder, from being bipolar to depression. Those all count as different abilities, or under the Americans with, quote, Disabilities Act, those all count. It turns out that just because of the way society is designed, that people with mental health issues can access those bleachers by stepping over the steps or using the ramp like you were talking about. So many of the retrofits and the universal design takes more into consideration the people who have those physical disabilities, those physical differences, that to allow them more access.
And what efforts is VLFA making to help people understand what inclusion is?
Oh my goodness, Debbie, would you like to talk about that a little bit? I feel like I've been talking a lot.
Nice little Sandy's leading that up. There's several of us involved in what we're calling an inclusion campaign. We just felt like we really needed to have a very concerted effort of awareness. And we realized that we wanted to start with awareness. So certainly at the end of all this, we would love action steps. But really this year, we really want to start with awareness. And that's just exactly what Sandy's been talking about, and you and Sandy have been talking about, Maya, is just this awareness of what exclusion is, right? And what inclusion is, that we would love to take the dis out of disabilities and have everybody understand that we all have different abilities, and that we are all missing out if we miss out the contributions with those that have different abilities can make. And if we all think about it, it is amazing how many different people we know in our lives. And oftentimes, as we get to know people and we know them as people and as our friends, we don't even think about the disability that they have, but someone who just meets them new may see that. So we really would like to tell stories so people understand and see their neighbors, if you would, and the stories behind that, and not just about the disability, but the abilities that they have and how they want to contribute. So what we're putting together is individuals who are willing to tell their story, and then questions, and we hope to do some blogging around it, radio kinds of things, print, all sorts of things like that. But almost each month, I'll just take a different little chunk of a topic for several months and bring some attention to this variety of things, like Sandy had mentioned, that when we talk about inclusion.
And if Maya, I just want to add on that this campaign does have a name. It's called Voice Ability, because we want to hear people's voices about their abilities, about what we all have in common versus how some people are different from other people. And that is so that nobody's going to be excluded, but we're all included in this conversation about what it feels like to be a person, and a person who has something different to contribute, or also has lots of things in common with lots of other people that sometimes get overlooked because people are focusing more on the difference rather than the similarity.
And how could someone become involved with this Voice Ability campaign?
Well, that's also a really good question. So we want to hear from all kinds of people, and we want to have people involved in our blog. I think everybody knows somebody who has something different to contribute to our overall community. So anybody who has a story to tell, we would like to hear it. It can be anything from a childhood experience when somebody in a school environment perhaps had a seizure. And what did that mean to that person? How did it feel? And this is just would be from the witness or the person who, you know, experienced that. Anything from that all the way up to, I am a person who has been looked at as different because I blank, 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 and they want to tell their story about what really makes them angry about the way that they're treated, or what do they really appreciate in people when they do talk to them as if they're a real person and not, you know, talking to the wheelchair, but talking to the person instead. So a huge range of things. And like Debbie said, we're going to be putting out a paper flurry of saying, here's invitations to help us hear your voice. And that's going to be spread out across email and on social media and all kinds of things, so we can collect these stories. And then it's the job of Valley Life for All and Debbie and the other people that work around this campaign to kind of take the best ones and publish those, and then also pose questions that other people will be able to have a take on. So, for example, sometimes this is just an example from my own experience. So my child, Henry, who is delightful, smile, huge sense of humor, and he actually also has Down syndrome. And we go into the grocery store, he's 13, and people kind of look at him and they come over to me and they offer me things for him, whether it's a toy or what they think is a caring comment. And that really bothers me because I think, well, you're not offering all the other kids in this grocery store a toy. But for some reason that they think that will make him feel good, and it probably makes them feel good too. But in a certain way, from my perspective, it's a little bit of a misplaced gesture. I would rather they come up and say, hey, tell me about Down syndrome. I would rather they ask questions like, what's it like to live with Henry? Or how do you see Henry's future? And look at what he's doing. He's helping you count out the fruits and pick out the best ones. That's an amazing skill for everybody to have, where I'd rather have that conversation than feel like they have to offer me something as some sort of a token of understanding, or I don't know what emotion that they would want to attach to it. So if I have that in my story, that's my story, then the question would be, how do you think is, what is the right approach to somebody who has a different ability that you can see is in the grocery store and is different? How would you approach them so that we can have all kinds of people answer that question either with their own story or with like, wow, you know, I never knew that a parent might not really like to have that happen with their, you know, for them and with their child. So it's opening a conversation.
And Debbie, and this is a question for both of you, how will our community look when every individual is included?
I think, Maya, that one of the things I think about is just exactly what Sandy was just talking about, in the sense that we would be comfortable and open to ask questions and not feel like we have to make assumptions. I know that we, in our wanting to be our best and most helpful and most understanding, sometimes sort of stumble over things, just as Sandy's giving the example of. I think it's so fantastic to have this open dialogue, to have parents who have a child with special needs, or in this case, Down syndrome, for example, help educate or help some of us understand what is that conversation we should have, right? Or someone who is in a wheelchair. Well, what do we do? Do we stop and help open the door, or is that offensive, or should we ask? Or I in my best effort, want to be helpful, right? But I need some education and I need some communication and awareness. So it is having this open dialogue. On the other side of that, I think an inclusive community is that we also feel like we can ask for what we need, and that we're all open to, well, I need help with this door, or I belong in a service club. People come there to talk, and every week they say, do I have to use this microphone? And a chorus of folks in the audience say, yes, we're old, we can't hear very well. So that is a disability, if you would, right? These are very abled, incredible businessmen, people in our community, but many of them don't hear very well. So a microphone is all the adaption that we need, and they are very comfortable expressing what they need. So I think an inclusive community is one in which we're open with each other and have that kind of conversation.
And why is it important to be part of an organization like this? This is for both of you.
Well, I can tell you what why I'm passionate about the work that I do is just what Debbie was just saying, is I want to be part of a community where people are empowered to get knowledge and make choices and have options for the way that their life is going to look. So for me, Valley Life for All offers me a way to make that happen. So, and I've always felt like that even before I had a child who looks different, is different and things. And then I was blessed enough to be able to have it be a real life example for me so that I can help others learn that all abilities and everybody has something to contribute. And so becoming involved with VLFA helped me empower other people by offering knowledge and choices.
And I along with Sandy, have always had this place. I guess that's why my work has always been in the nonprofit field and a part of helping build community, because we are people who need to be a part of a community. That belonging is something that is in everybody's being. And so often we, without communication or awareness of that, we do exclude each other in so very many ways, and we miss that, the richness that comes from community. And I think this is where we get some of our, you know, the sadness that we have in our world, right? So to be an agent of helping that, and I see Valley Life for All, we create organizations as a vehicle to help, for example, with a vision like this, a collective group of people say, we want to make this happen. We want this to be kind of our banner that we carry in the community. And that's what we see with Valley Life for All. So folks who have that same passion and feeling, or want to feel like that's one of the things that they see is a space that they really want to pick up and help within a community, Valley Life for All is kind of a place for that, right, to help carry that banner.
And I don't mean to cut us short on time, but how can teenagers my age help schools become more inclusive?
Sandy, do you want to start with that?
That's an awesome question. And Maya, I'm interested, I'm going to give you my answer, but I'm interested to hear what you have to say too, because you are in that particular smaller community, the community within the community, which we call school. You're in that. So I'd be really interested to hear what you have to say, because that's what we do. We collect what people think, and then we try to turn it into action steps. But I would say one of the primary things that younger people like yourselves can do is to ask those questions, get education about what it means to what has been traditionally defined as disability, and then find out and take action in school to figure out, like, how do we be more inclusive? How do we think about our environment that we live in, and who is really included and excluded, even if it's not our own fault? It's not about a blame game. It's about, how do we make it better for everybody? Here in Eagle County, I know at Battle Mountain High School, they have an awesome buddies program. So since some children and high school teenagers who do have different abilities have often been excluded, there's this club, and it's called the Big Buddies. And it was started by, I believe, one of the Kennedys, and it's a national program. And they and everyone gets every person with a different ability is paired up with one or two
and
people.
I'm sorry, we are running short on time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So sorry to interrupt. No, it's okay. This is a issue that I think anyone can get very passionate about, and I would love to hear more. And like our listeners, where can more people find more information about VLFA?
So our website is valleylifeforall.org, valleylifeforall.org, and that's a great place to start.
Thank you so much. My name is Maya Patterson, and you're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. We've been talking with Debbie Wild and Sandy Schroeder from the Valley Life for All organization. Again, please, for more information, check out valleylifeforall.org. Thanks for tuning in today, and thank you, Debbie and Sandy, for being here.